Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. If you have a copy of God's Word, take it and turn with me to Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, the first chapter. So this is my last chance to speak to you from the Word of God in 2014. My. I cannot believe that we are already about to be in 2015. That blows my mind. But it's going to be a great, great year. And it could be the year that Jesus comes back. Have you ever thought about that? Really could be. Really could be. He's going to come at the hour we think not. And sometimes I want to not think about it. So he'll come. Amen. But anyway, I really began to pray through. God, what would you have for me to speak to the flock, the family of God, the body of Christ called Ridgecrest? And so what I want to do is kind of use this message to help us go into 2015. It's not going to be, here's what we need to do, five things to forget in 2014, five things to press towards in 2015, or anything like that. How many of you, when you were kids, used to play a game called Finders Keepers, Losers Weepers? You remember that? Okay, well, I got to thinking about this. First of all, the Bible says that Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus is a seeker. Jesus has come to seek us. He's come to find us, is what the Bible says. So here's what I titled my message, if there is a title. Today, oftentimes I don't focus on titles, just the text. But I titled it Finders Seekers. Finders Seekers. In other words, once I've been found, I got found over 17 years ago on the side of a road. Once Jesus saved me, I then need to become a seeker after other people. I need to then be a bringer. I need to be one. I need to be an Andrew. I need to be a Philip. I need to be a John in the Word of God that we're going to find in just a moment, how they went after others and brought them. And here's what they would see. Here's what they said, and you're going to find this a lot. They said, come and see. You see, let me tell you what I believe is the lost art in the modern day Christianity. The simple gesture or simple inviting someone to come and see. Just come and see. Listen, I believe the single greatest witness of the resurrection is a changed life. Okay? I believe that when people, when the world, when the lost, the unsaved, look at the building of the church. Let me tell you this. So I was in East Asia once. I was looking through my phone, and I found some notes that I'd taken. And so I was in East Asia, and I was meeting with a missionary there. And I began to talk to him. His name was Tony. And I began to talk with Tony, and listen to what Tony's testimony was. He believed that God and Jesus were real, but the church was a lie. Do you know why? Because what he saw in the church. He saw a bunch of people who came and gathered and raised their hands and clapped their hands and sang with their voices and played the guitar and played the drums and led music and preached from pulpits. But when they got outside the church, he saw something totally different. He saw people who lived just like he did. So here's what he said. He said, I believe that God and Jesus were real. I just believe the church was a lie. Now, can I ask you a question? Here's my question to you. If the body, if the head is real, the body should be real. The head of this church is not Chad Grayson. The head of this church is Jesus Christ. We are his hands and feet. We are Jesus' body. And so if Jesus is about seeking people, then the church ought to be about seeking people. Amen? The church ought to be about seeking people. And so what I wanted to do, someone said to teach somebody something new is like pushing a string. I'm not going to be teaching you anything new this morning. I just want to hopefully rekindle a passion, a fire that God had once placed in you. When many of you first got saved, you probably couldn't keep it to yourself. Man, you just couldn't. You were fired up. You wanted everybody to know what had happened to you. Everybody to know what had happened to you. Hey, guys, here's what I want us to do. I want us to be very conscious of guests who are coming in here. And so let's scoot in some more, okay? Stand, any of my deacons or elders, if somebody needs a seat, there's some down here. Scoot over and let people have a seat. Ushers, make sure people have a place and take them to the seats, okay? This is good. Now, if you're a guest in here today, you may be saying, man, it's too, you know, you may be like Yogi Bear. Yogi Bear was driving down the road one day, saw a restaurant and it was crowded. He said, it's too crowded. Nobody goes there anymore. Here's the deal. Some people may say, man, is it like this every Sunday? I pray it becomes like this every Sunday. But right now, we have three services on Sunday morning, and so we all combine them into one. So that's why it's hard to find a seat, okay? But anyway, so what I want to do is help rekindle this passion that God has placed in you to bring people to church. So here's what I wrote down. Listen to this simple, simple goal. My goal for this message is that you hopefully will commit yourself to consistently inviting the lost and the unchurched. So there are those who used to come here. Hey, the church has 4,000 members, but only 2,000 show up on Sunday morning. Where are the other 2,000? I mean, the FBI couldn't find half of them. So where are they? Where are they? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Let me tell you, 2015, we're going to focus on inviting the lost to Jesus, but also you bring them to the church to get them under the preaching of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But also, we're going to go after those who by some reason, maybe their feelings were hurt. Maybe there was a need in their life that they didn't get met by the church, and maybe we messed up, and maybe they have a legitimate a complaint, and they're just sitting there pouting. We want to go after them, let them know, you know what, we love you, we're sorry, we want you to come back. So we, after the lost and the unchurched, that we would invite them to a weekly worship service and to Jesus Christ. That's the goal. Right. My goal, just invite them to a weekly worship service and to Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Before we get to the real text, listen to the heart of John. I believe the heart of John, the key verse, is John 20, verse 31. Listen to what it says. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Listen to the heart of God. Listen to the heart of God. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave. That's the heart of God. The heart of God is that He said He gave His one and only Son, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. All of this is under the heart of God. Listen to this. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Can I just tell you, I am such a simple-minded preacher that I believe that God desires all, A-double-L, all men to be saved. I believe that. I know there's certain debates out there that says, no, there's some that He doesn't desire. There's only some that are chosen. In a lot of Baptist churches, they're frozen. They're the frozen chosen. But I believe that, I don't know about up in Missouri, I'm learning Missouri language, but remember, I speak Regneckian. That's Mississippian, okay? Listen, all means all. All means all. Whosoever, listen, whosoever, that means everybody. That's your middle name, whosoever. So He's talking about you. And then He goes on, listen to 2 Peter. Listen to 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but He's long-suffering. In other words, He's patient. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. This is the heart of God. John 1:29, whenever John sees Jesus walking, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Remember, this is all the heart of God. 1 John 2:2, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, the covering, the atonement, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. So the heart of God is that everybody may come to know Jesus, but listen to the purpose of Jesus. The purpose of Jesus. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. John 10:10, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Now listen to this. The word life there in the Greek language is zoe, Z-O-E, zoe, zoe. You know what it means? Can I tell you what it means? It simply means godlike, godlike life. In other words, when Jesus comes to save you, he comes to save you and to give you. Now, this is going to blow your mind. You're going to be at lunch today and you're going to think about this. You're going to throw your fork. Listen, because right now when I say this, it's just going to go over your head. When Jesus comes to save you, listen to this, guys. Don't miss this. When Jesus comes to save you, little boys, little girls, the very life of God comes to live inside of you. When Adam, it says he breathed into his nostrils, the very life of God caused him to be alive. I'm already physically alive, but you know what? If I stay physically alive, if I'm born and I never get saved, I will die once physically, but I will die eternally spiritually. It's called the second death. You can read it in Revelation chapter 20. But I'm born physically. And then on August the 5th of 97, when I pulled a truck over on the side of the road and said, Lord Jesus, I need you. He stepped out of heaven and stepped into my life. He breathed the very life of God in me. He came to live inside of me. Listen, he gave me abundant life. Guess what? I may die physically, but I'm never dying again spiritually. So you're born once, you die twice. You're born twice, you die once. Listen to 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul said, of whom I am chief. And so remember, we're not trying to teach you anything. I'm setting you up here. I'm wanting you to see the purpose of Jesus, the heart of God, because here's what I want to get to. Because next we're going to move into the command of the church. This whole theme of this message is finders, seekers. The command of the church. So here's my question to you, two questions. When is the last time, hey, everybody look right up here. When is the last time you gave serious consideration that your mom, that your dad, that your husband, that your wife, that your brother, that your sister, that your best friend may perish if they were to die? When is the last time? Honestly, when is the last time you gave serious consideration? Wait a minute, I've been saved. I claim that Jesus of Nazareth stepped out of heaven and stepped into my life, gave me his life. So shouldn't I be changed? I ought to be concerned about what Jesus is concerned about. And Jesus is concerned about souls, dear friends. Jesus is in the soul business. He came to save me. I mean, how many of us with children who, when we observe their lifestyle, we see anything but a disciple of Christ? But you know what we do? You know what we do? Listen to me, guys. You know what we do? We try to explain it away to make us feel better, because we're not. Listen, but we may hurt their feelings. I told you this when I first came. We're so worried about offending people. Can I tell you something? If they're already going to hell, they're not going to go to a hell number two. You can't offend them to hell number two. I would rather confront someone with whether or not they know Jesus. Whether or not they know Jesus. And I know some of you right now, you're already getting sweaty and clammy and you're thinking, oh, but I can't do this. Well, I'm going to get to how I want you to learn to do that. Listen, witnessing to someone else comes easy for me. That's not bragging. That's just for some odd reason, it comes easy for me. It's easy for me to talk to someone about Jesus. There are other things that you're gifted at that there's no way I could do. But I don't want you to be confused there. We're all gifted to tell others about Jesus. Everybody. Everybody. So people say, but I haven't given up. Well, your lack of passion for them and concern for them says otherwise. So, heart of God, he wants everybody to be saved. The purpose of Jesus was to seek and to save. What's the command of the church? Now listen to me. We all know the Great Commission. We all know Matthew 28. We all know that he commanded us to go and make disciples. We know that. Listen to me. He didn't say, go you all. Sorry. He said, go ye. Singular, personal, you. He did that on purpose, I believe, with all my heart. I believe that every single word in this book is inspired by God. It was written by God. It was planned by God. And so he made it personal for all of us. It can't just be the preacher. It can't just be someone that went to seminary. It can't just be a missionary. It's every one of us has got to be on mission. So here's the command of the church. Ready? Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house, what? My house. You ready? In other words, that the place where the word of God is being taught, that my house, the place where the word of God is being taught, will be full, may be filled. Mike, come up here for 1 minute. I'm going to use Mike as an illustration here. Mike said that he was praying the other day at his house. And his mother-in-law said, Mike, you're beginning to sound like Pastor Chad. He said, well, maybe he's beginning to sound like me. So anyway, that's a good spin on it, right? All right, listen. He said, go out into the highways and to the hedges and compel them. And compel them. Do you know if you were to break that word compel down what it literally means? Watch this. It means to twist the arm. Watch this. What do cops do if they're being unruly? If someone is being unruly, which, by the way, can I just say this? I love policemen. I love policemen. They're the good guys. Anyway, watch this. So here's what they do. Watch. You put your arm back and you twist it up. You got it. Why? You can make them do whatever you want. You compel them. You compel them. You know what we do? You know what we do? You know what we do? Watch this. You want to come to church? Hold on. Listen. I'm telling you. Watch. Thank you, bro. Listen. But think about this. He says compel them. Oh, but if I make them come to church when they're young, they won't come back when they're older. You make kids take a bath. Do they still take baths now? I hope. Hey, you're not. Hey, this is what's unreal. I know people who ground their kids by keeping them from church functions. No, keep them from dancing or cheering or sports. Keep them from going hunting. Keep them from doing some of that stuff and bring them to the house of God. My goodness. And so the message, the command for the church is to go out and fill the house. You cannot spell gospel without go. It is the church's duty. Listen, it is the church's duty to go to the lost, not the unbeliever's duty to come to the church. The mentality of, well, they know where we are, they'll come. That's nowhere in the Bible. That is nowhere. Listen, church family, you've heard it so many times that it's just gone in one ear and out the other. When is the last time you gave serious consideration for someone who was lost and invited them to get under the glory of the preaching of the Word of God? It is the command of the church. And so what I want to challenge you in 2014, to let's look forward to 2015 and say, I'm going to bring people to church. Do you know why? Listen. Not because I like my preacher, not because I like the worship, because I promise you I will never embarrass you by not preaching God's word. Don't take lightly what I just said. I will not embarrass you. I will not preach my opinion. We will preach God's word. Anybody who stands up behind this pulpit will be told, I don't care what you say. We want to hear what God says. We want to hear what God says. So here's what I wrote down. Inviting people to church worship services is the lost art of modern day Christianity. Inviting people to church worship services is the lost art of modern day church Christianity. It is. I'm telling you, I know. And somebody's going to write a book out there, one of these great theologians or whatever, and they're going to be saying, oh, you don't invite them to church. You do house church. You do this, that, that. And I understand that. But listen to me. Hear me, guys. I want to... Do y'all like to vote? Hey, like to vote. Raise your hand if you like to vote. Watch this. If you were saved in here, all right, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, okay? If you were saved in here as a result of someone inviting you or your family to church, would you raise your hand? Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Balcony? Balcony. Okay. It's a good number of you. A lot of you. Isn't that something? Now, the rest of you already need to get saved in just a minute, okay? I just want you to know that. Because I promise you, if you were to trace it back, someone invited somebody in your family to church. Totally messed up my illustration there, but that's all right. Hey, guys, listen, listen. Seriously. We have lost the art of inviting people. Inviting people. And so, I wrote this down just real quick, and then we're going to jump in, and we're going to be done. See, my introduction is long. My sermon's short, okay? Listen. I was 9 or 10 years old. I was 9 or 10 years old. I can remember after a big rain, there was a ditch, a big ditch, and we would go look for, we'd catch crawfish. We'd go down and catch crawfish. Well, my daddy drove an 18-wheeler, so we were not in church. We're not in church. So Sunday was like any other day. And so, man, I'd go down and I'd start catching fish. So me and one of my good friends named Daniel Mouton, me and Daniel, we'd go down, we'd be catching. Well, there was a pastor named Brother E.A. Hester. He led my Uncle Bill to the Lord, who my Uncle Bill made a huge impact on my life. He's in heaven now, Brother E.A. Hester. But I can remember, it just came to me as I studied this sermon. I can remember being at that crawfish hole, catching crawfish. And I mean, I don't know what we did with them, but anyway, we were catching the crawfish. I can remember him coming up, getting out of his car in his suit. He had a suit on. And he was the interim pastor of a church there in Beulah Baptist Church in McGee. He came and said, "Young men, what are y'all doing?" "Catching crawfish." He said, "What's your name?" I said, "Chad Grayson." And long story, he said, "Are you Bunyan's boy?" Bunyan, that's what they call him, Uncle Bill. He said, "Are you Bunyan's nephew?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Go to your house." I said, "Yes, sir." So I went to my house. Next thing I know, he comes to the house. He said, he told my mama. Now, why he didn't invite my mama, I don't know. But he told my mama, he said, "Get the boy dressed. I'm taking him to church with me." Now, listen to me. Please hear me. I got saved August the 5th of 1997 on the side of the road, okay? I was 20 years old. I was 9 or 10 right there. Please hear my heart when I say this. I have never thought of that story until I was studying this, but that's how big of an impact it made on me. I still remember that. That someone, listen to this, someone invited me to church. I promise you, you don't have to believe it. In my mind, I can see him up there preaching. I know where I sat. It's unreal because he invited me. That's what I'm asking us to do. Let's invite people and get them under the preaching of the Word of God. 80% of people who will miss hell and make it to heaven, 80% will do so one day only because someone said, "Come and see. Come and see. Come and hear the gospel. Come and see." So John chapter 1, y'all ready for the sermon? Hey, man, you know what's unreal? For you 10:30 people, this is right on schedule for me, okay? All right. Oh, here we go. Listen to this. I'm not going to make you stand, so just listen to what it says. In verse 35, John 1:35. "Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And then the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Did y'all hear me? You see, listen, they may not hear him out there. You may have to get them underneath the Word of God to hear him speak. The Word of God, he's speaking. I told you that. The Word of God speaks. It's unbelievable. And so they heard him speak and they followed him. Then the two disciples heard him speak and they followed him. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." Here we go. Number one. This is not how-tos. We're just going to break down this verse. Number one, Jesus finds John and Andrew. I mean, that's what it does. Listen to what he says. "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now, it was about the 10th hour, about 10 o'clock in the morning. And one of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon. And we're going to stop right there. So when the apostle John and Andrew met the Lord Jesus, they could not only tell you what day they met him, they could tell you what time they met him. Now, some people get a little scared when someone says, hey, I got saved and this was the time. Listen, nowhere in the Bible does it say you got to remember the time that you got saved. It just needs to say, you know that you're saved. That's my thing. You know that you're saved. But we see here that Jesus saved John and Andrew. Now, Andrew now goes and finds Peter. Simon, listen to what it says in verse 40. One of the two heard John speak. His name was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to see Jesus. Listen to that. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Isn't that incredible? Because Andrew found Jesus, he now becomes a seeker. Scholars say that Andrew and John probably spent from 10 a.m. that morning to the next morning with Jesus. Hey, listen, they spent the night with Jesus. That's good. So what happened between verse 41 and 42 happened the next day from verse 40. So when Andrew woke up, listen, when he woke up, this is what he said. When he woke up, he found that what? It was too good to keep for himself. He found that what he had was too good to keep for himself. Please listen, Ridgecrest. Oftentimes, we say this, family members are the hardest people to witness to. Do you know who told you that? Satan. That is one of the biggest lies that has ever crawled out of the pit of hell. Why? Listen, why? If God created the family, why would he then turn around and say, but I'm going to make it hard to reach them? No. Satan wants you to know that. Satan keeps telling you that. And a lot of you are believing it. You're believing it. And it shouldn't be that way. A brother brings a brother. And so if you have a family member that does not know Jesus, stop believing the lie that you can't reach them. Here in the Word of God is someone that came to you. And you know what's unreal? Listen, don't miss this. It doesn't say anything about Andrew witnessing to Peter. It says that Andrew brought him to see Jesus. Some of you out there are saying, but I'm afraid I won't have the words. I'm going to mess it up. That's okay. Your words have never changed anybody. That's why you ought to bring them to church and get them under the Word of God. The Word of God changes people. Stop using the excuse, well, I don't know what to say. Just invite them to church. Get them under the preaching of the Word of God. I'll never forget. One time, my mama, I wrote down this illustration, my mama, before my sister knew the Lord, my mama came to me and she says, would you go see her? But don't tell her I sent you. And I'm thinking, some of you are laughing, but you've done the same thing. Hey, don't tell them I sent you, Pastor, but would you go see so-and-so? No, you know what may mean a lot to them? Hey, I'm from Ridgecrest Baptist Church. Your mom sent me because she loves you so much and she don't want to spend eternity separated from you. Yeah. Or what about this? Hey, I'm from Ridgecrest Baptist Church. I can't tell you who sent me because they really don't care enough to tell you that you're dying and going to hell. Oswald Chambers said, when Jesus met Simon, he called him Cephas, stone. Jesus has a penetrating, omniscient look that not only sees who you are, but who you can become. Then Jesus finds Philip, verse 43. Listen, following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. And that's a reminder that we are to bring people, but Jesus is the ultimate seeker. We bring them to church to hear the Word of God, but Jesus is the one who saves them. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. And lastly, listen, Philip gets found. He becomes a seeker. He finds Nathanael. Now, here we go. This is going to be good here. All right, so watch. A brother finds a brother, but what about a friend and a friend? Verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth and the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Listen to what Philip said to him. Come and see. Come and see. Hey, listen, friends don't let friends drink and drive. Friends, real friends don't let real friends go to hell. Real friends don't let real friends die and go to hell. Now, here's what I want you to see. Remember, a lot of you are nervous and you're thinking, oh, but what do I do? When he came to Nathanael, when Philip came to Nathanael, he faced skepticism. I mean, Nathanael was a skeptic. He looked at Philip and he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, listen, I guarantee you that people who knew Nathanael probably went up to him and said, hey, when Philip asked you that, what'd you say? I mean, when you asked Philip that, what did Philip say? And I bet Nathanael said, he didn't say anything. See, no, watch, because some of you think, but if I go to witness to somebody, if I go to invite them somewhere, they may bring up an argument that I don't have any words to say. You know what, Philip? Listen, Philip just said, come and see. So watch. Why should I come to you to church? Just come and see. Just get them under the word of God. Why was it so important for Philip to get Nathanael there? Because Philip had been there. Think about that. You know, one of the reasons that many of us don't want to bring people to church, because we've never met the head of the church. I'm telling you, it was too good for him to keep it to himself. So the reason he said, come and see, Nathanael, I want to get you there, because Philip had been there. Oh, that's good. That is good. So listen to this. Here's what we're going to do. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. God and men, that is the man Christ Jesus. So here's what I wrote down. If Pastor Travis and Rich, if you guys would come up on the stage with me, I'm going to use them in a minute. We're about to have an illustration. Craig, go ahead and come on up. You ready? Listen. We ought to invite others to Jesus Christ to be saved, to Ridgecrest to hear about the Savior, and to small group to see the Savior in our lives. They ought to see Jesus with skin on and hear the Scriptures being taught. Invite them to Jesus to be saved, Ridgecrest to hear about the Savior, and to a small group to see the Savior in our lives and to hear the Scriptures being taught. This is 90% of churches. The people that we pay, staff, we want them to do it all. Listen to me, guys. We're paying them to do it. That's the mentality of 90% of our churches. This is the mentality of the Word of God. That's the mentality of the Word of God. Everybody, listen to me. Everybody that has been found becomes a seeker. You go and seek someone. You go and bring them. Come and see. Listen, that's the two words. That's what we ought to memorize this year. Come and see. Hey, what's going on at Ridgecrest? Come and see. We're making much of Jesus. That's all we want to do, is make much of Jesus. We're not going to be this kind of a church. We're going to be a church that is mobile, that is being Jesus with skin on, and going into a lost and dying world, starting here in our backyard. Come and see. Come and see.